You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for the first day of a new trading week, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And with me this evening to discuss what's been a very interesting day is Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth. You're an early bird, Nick Kunze. You like to get the worm. So you get up early, 5:30, whatever it is, and you look at all your screens and you analyse what's been going on. You must have thought, goodness me, look at what's happened to the tech stocks on the Shanghai Exchange and a couple of other exchanges, and notably the Hang Seng, which fell ultimately 4.1%, I think it was, and thought, this is going to be a horrible day, both in South Africa and in the United States of America. But it all sort of fizzled out a bit and people just bought into things. So what was your analysis of what happened over the last 16 hours?
Yeah, so I mean, Ding Mohammed this morning, and we saw the news break. I mean, I work Sunday nights getting ready for the week ahead, and we saw the stories coming out of China on the Sunday regarding the education shares and what the government, the Chinese government, basically, stamping down on that private education sector. It is quite unnerving overall that literally from one day to the next, your business model can change completely, but such is the joys of investing in China. But that was on the Sunday, Lindsay. And then, as you said, this morning, it was a horrid morning out of the Far East, really dragged low by those Chinese tech shares and the big heavyweights like obviously we're all watching with interest, with Tencent down 7% coming in, 7.7% to be exact. And but as the day has progressed, I'd like to think it's probably more healthy, the fact that we're literally unchanged on the day, and it was a tale of two very, very different markets. So the selling obviously contributed just to that Chinese tech space, where it was offset against some cracking set of numbers out of the old-fashioned, boring commodity miners, Amplats shooting the lights out. I mean, who would have thought it?
And nothing boring about that,
of course,
I can tell you.
Yeah, and of course, fabulous. Dragging all the PGMs with them. And the end result is one weighing off against the other, and we're kind of flat on the day. So I actually think it's quite healthy, but nevertheless, if you're Naspers or Prosus shareholder, there's nothing healthy about it. And you took a lot of pain today.
Yeah, and I was I sent you a message earlier on, and I was speaking to David Shapiro earlier on today, and I just thought this if this sort of thing continues, and it has been a theme recently ever since the Chinese authorities, or let's call it Beijing, ever since Beijing ruled with a rod of iron over Hong Kong, whether it be protests in the street or whether it be tech companies that in their mind have done rather too well and are exerting too much influence. The point is that it keeps on coming up. It's not going to stop. And I think the Hang Seng is down on the year now after today's move. I can't remember. I've got too many stats in my head. But the point is that you must be slightly cautious about, for example, your investment in Prosus and Naspers with the Tencent element, and also Tencent itself, or am I being too dramatic?
I don't think you're being dramatic at all. I think it's something you actually generally have to be concerned about, because it is, unfortunately or fortunately, China is the second biggest economy in the world after America, and you can't ignore it. And obviously, if you're running a macro book or a global book, you've got to basically understand what's happening in that space. Of course, we're closer to home. We obviously, everyone knows the story of Tencent and the investment, which has been profiled many times since the start of the century, early 2000, and the success that has brought to South African pension holders. But if you actually drill down to the bare basics, Lindsay, your pensions in South Africa or wherever where you're based and involved in Naspers or Tencent or Prosus for that matter are very closely linked to the whims of the Chinese authorities. And I guess it is a little bit of a concern, and you've got to factor it into your risk models. In the short term, both Naspers Prosus have been underperformers year to date. I know David's been talking about it a few times. They are one of the few shares that are down year to date, whereas the bounce back and the rest of the market. And, sentiment on that Chinese tech sector is significantly negative and will probably stay negative for the short term. But, longer term sentiments can reverse, quite quickly. I mean, remember not so long ago, the Ant listing. And financial,
yes,
with Alibaba. That's Alibaba nowhere near where it was a few months ago. It's much higher than it was. So, things can, sentiment can change quite quickly. But for now, certainly, it's got people nervous and it's got people. And if you look at some of these, I pulled a graph up of one called TEL Education, sort of post school education that's listed ADR in America. It's down 92% year to date. you know. So it's they do come with a little bit of health warning investing. And if you want to invest in one of the fastest growing areas in the world, it unfortunately does come with a health warning.
Yes, indeed. And one of the things I put forward to David Shapiro, we discussed it very briefly, was that one man's meat is another man's poison. And the poison in this case is being involved in Chinese tech shares purely. But on the other hand, if people are putting, if you're a tech fund and you're pulling, have to pull money out of the Chinese listings or the Chinese companies because you're fearful of future regulations that will be imposed upon these companies, you say, well, I've got to invest in tech anyway. I can't just invest in Impala Platinum or Anglo-American Platinum, so I have to go to somewhere else. And where do you go? You go to the United States of America. So increase your holdings in those ones, so maybe they'll do better. I don't know. Is that a viable proposition? Is that a viable theory?
Well, I think as an investor, if you're a macro investor, as you're saying, you know, you do have to put your money where you think it's going to be safe. You know, we've had so many discussions closer to home in South Africa with regards to property rights, etc. You know, you can't don't invest in property and the government takes it away. You know, that's also been a contentious issue. But exactly the same investing with tech shares. Where do you want to put your money where it's going to be safe? You want to invest it. If you invested in a Chinese education listed share a week or so ago, you've just practically been wiped out because the government's turned around and said, actually, we're not going to allow you to even make profits. I mean, what's the point of being listed in? They can't pay anything up. They're technically worthless. So you've got to go where the money is. And you've got to say, well, actually, this conversation with a colleague earlier saying America still, you know, to a certain extent, is the last sort of form of capitalism left in the world. This week, Lindsay, you're going to get, you're basically going to find that a lot more because we've got all the tech shares reporting, ironically, this week in the U.S.,
Alphabet, so, I mean, Amazon, yeah, and Apple. Yeah, this is a huge
Alphabet,
week.
Alphabet, Amazon, Microsoft, all the biggies. Those shares we just mentioned and Facebook, I mean, they've got a combined $72 billion dollars jump in revenue for the second quarter compared to a year ago. I mean, think of $72 billion U.S. dollars is going to be their jump in revenue for the second quarter compared to a year ago. That's a 30% increase. You know, that is an extraordinary number. So, I mean, these guys are printing money hand over fist. The other highlights we're going to get this week, also in the tech space, is going to be, as I said, Google and Facebook, the advertising business. Quite keen to see that. They're looking for a 50% jump in revenue over the year. 50%. So they continue to make an extraordinary amount of money. And if you're a shareholder that you've seen now as well with the bond yields where they are and a very little return on your money for cash, you know, where are you going to put your money that's going to get a return? You know, these guys are doing share buybacks. They're going to start paying out dividends. So lots of, I mean, it's a very interesting time to be a global investor right now. And as I said, ironically, on the one side, this afternoon, you had the NASDAQ hitting an all-time high again today. and early hours of this morning, the tech shares at one point in China were limit down. So really, again, really is an extraordinary market, tale of two markets at the moment.
Yeah, there's a slightly sad note when it comes to the tech stocks. Well, not so much the tech stocks, but a company that is linked to tech stocks and trading. And it's called Robinhood. Robinhood is a legendary heroic outlaw, originally depicted in English folklore and subsequently featured in literature and film. According to legend, he was a highly skilled archer and swordsman, and he took from the rich and gave to the poor. Well, Robin Hood on Thursday, Nick Kunze, is listing. It's going public. I don't know how you feel about this. Obviously, it's great that people can trade the stocks as well as trade with Robin Hood, but I've sort of got mixed feelings about it, but I need your input here.
What do you want to know? What are my thoughts on it?
Yes, obviously your thoughts on it. What do you think? Should Robinhood be on the exchange? Is it a viable proposition? Obviously it is. Maybe it should change its name and have two different divisions or something. But it's been an incredible success story. But does it deserve to be on the exchange?
Well, I think, look, if you take a step back, I mean, what exchanges, what are capital markets there for? They're there to
distribute wealth.
Money.
Yeah. And
distribute wealth in the secondary market, yes, in the secondary market to distribute wealth. Those who are buying it, hoping it's going to go up. But primarily, capital markets, when you list on the markets, is because often people, original funds, are looking for an exit. So it's a nice, transparent way to exit.
Yeah.
And secondly, you want to raise money. And often I've said to clients looking at listing their companies, I'm like, do you need the money? No. Does your dad want out? No. Then why are you listing? Because being a publicly traded company is not always that simple. It comes with a lot of baggage and a lot of expenses. So you'd have to say that Robinhood is probably getting pressure from his original investors to, or his original seed capital. The guys want out. Yep, they want to get out. And also, if you saw the debacle with the AMC and with all the other shares, all these meme stocks, you know, they did need the money. They actually needed capital injection to meet the capital adequacy. So they're definitely coming for two reasons. What I find least sort of savory is the fact that they've pitched these 35% of the company's IPO shares are going to be available to the retail traders. And if you speak to the average retail trader on Robinhood, I don't think he understands the risk. I mean that in all respect, that there's a lot of risk with buying shares and IPOs, etc. And to pitch this, I don't even know how they get away with it. I mean, there must be so many disclaimers. To pitch this at just more than a third of the shares of the retail base seems to come with, comes with a little bit of a health warning again also. I mean, it's...
So what you're saying is that if, for example, Sibanye-Stillwater had a capital raising, obviously it's a listed company, but had a capital raising via rights issue or something, they're doing it because they want to buy a mine somewhere or whatever mining company. I'm using the mining industry today because the mining shares are to the fore. But Robin Hood doesn't need the money. It's got a load of people, a load of laptops and people and a load of computers, and people are just transacting all the time. What are they going to do? Are they going to buy some other online trading company? If they do need to, then they can do it. They've got plenty of cash. So they are doing this for an exit strategy.
More than anything. But it's also like going further. It's like Sibanye-Stillwater saying, I'm coming to the market. We need to raise some capital. But 35% of these shares will not go to the banks and the hedgies and the funds that are looked after us. You can't participate. 35% has to go to the man on the street to buy into it. But it is a bit of it's a weird name, as you said in the intro, calling it Robin Hood, because the bulk of their orders, the bulk of the money they make at – I mean, this is such a fallacy. This is not free trading. Everyone thinks they're trading for free. They're not trading for free. The spread is wider than normal, so they're making their money. But a large portion of the money that Robin Hood makes comes from what they call payment for order flow. So it's PFOF, payment for order flow. So it's revenue – basically, it's like a gaming experience. So all the market makers out there, in particular guys like Steve Cohen's business, they pay Robin Hood to get a look at the market coming in. So look at the retail trader coming in before it gets to the market, and they make the price. So, I mean, it opens up so many sort of conflicts of interest. It's frightening. So if you think that you're on Robin Hood and they're such lovely guys, they're selling your orders on to the bad hedge funds to trade in front of you. And that's a fact. It's in their prospectus they put out. So it is a bit of a strange one for me. I mean, let's put it this way. If I had access to Robinhood, I wouldn't be buying these shares.
Well said. Okay, let's get back to the real world. And I really hope the people that are genuine about Robinhood, the shareholders or prospective shareholders and the people that started the company do well out of it. And they've provided a service. But on the other hand, dig down deep if you are thinking of getting into it, because it's not all it seems. And I know about these things because I was in the 1980s working in a sweatshop, and I understand, a boiler room rather, and I understand exactly what's going on. Okay.
But also, just to add on, I mean, if you remember back in, was it January or February? It was the start of this year when they had to raise the emergency funds for the GameStop saga, that mania, remember?
Yes, I do.
That's when they had to basically, they ran out of cash, and they basically had to tap into their big daddies that own them and all the guys, the hedge funds that back them. And back then, they actually, I remember correctly, they issued some convertible notes to raise the funds. Now, guess what? You know, those notes are now convertible at the IPO. So, I mean, you can see why they're doing it. They're not doing it to make the man on the street feel happy and fuzzy inside. It's time to pay back your keeper, and that's why they're doing it.
I hate financial engineering, but anyway, it's legal, so Good luck to them. Okay, dollar round, 1481. It was 1497 at one stage today. It was going to change its big figure from 14 to 15, but didn't. British pound against the rand is 2048. The euro rand is 1750. The euro dollar is 118.13. That's a weaker dollar by a third of a percent. The cable is 138.25. Gold price has dipped back below 1800, keeps on changing its big figure. It's 1799, which is down $2.50 per ounce. Platinum is $1065 per ounce, which is up $6. I've got palladium up 22. What have you got, Nick?
Not far off that. I don't know if mine's delayed price or up to date or not, but $15 higher, I've got it. But 0.5% firm on the day, Lindsay. 2,687. Nicely in the green.
Yeah, crude oil looks a little bit.
Oh, can I just mention?
Of course you can.
I mentioned Comex copper. Comex copper.
Yes, please.
Big move today. 4.14% up on the day for copper. So I don't normally look at it, but it's just because of that big move, it just popped up on my screen.
Very nice. And West Texas crude was down, then up, and now down again, but only slightly. 0.6% weaker for West Texas, $71.66 per barrel. Brent crude oil, $73.95 per barrel, down 0.2%. The CRB index, multi-year highs this morning, just above 230 on an index basis, will be higher tomorrow because of things like copper that Nick just spoke about. The Bitcoin price was interesting. I mean, four or 5 days ago, it was 29,500. Now it's close to 38,500. This is unbelievable. 12.3% up on the day. I don't know why this is. Nothing's come out of Tesla. What's happened?
Yeah, no, there was a rumor doing the rounds over the weekend, but it is an old rumor, but Bitcoiners, cryptos like the rumors, that Amazon was mulling over getting some form of Bitcoin accepted on Amazon on their website.
Oh,
and this, let me tell you the thread of it, because this was a rumor that apparently someone saw an advert on one of the job sites for Amazon looking for someone involved in crypto writing or something. So they've speculated they're going to use it. But of course, you know, I've seen a couple of really good commentary on the back of it. This makes no sense because, as we know, Bitcoin is very inefficient. It's very expensive when it comes to transactions, and it's very slow. It is something like 200 times slower than Visa to do a transaction, so it doesn't make any sense. But nevertheless, let them have their moment. As you said, it's up almost – I've got it at almost 17% since Friday.
Ridiculous. The US 10-year bond yield, to all intents and purposes, 1.28%. The South African 10-year has done very well today. It's done really well. It's 8.83%.
That was a standout for me. You know, so everyone was asking me about my view on the rand dollar, and as you said, it almost went through the big handle of 15. But if I look at the bond market, I think it's trading very well. I mean, across the whole curve, I've got the 2-year up sort of 1 basis point, the 5-year note up 7.5 pips, the 10-year up 13.83. So if I want a sort of commentary on how South Africa is doing and where are we with it, I'd say look no further than our bond market. I think it's behaving very well.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. It was 9.05% and got very close to 8.80%. I think the comments from Lesetha Kanyago, the South African Reserve Bank governor, soothed the market somewhat. In other words, we're not going to get a rate hike very soon, so the bond market doing well. Okay, what else have we got today? The big five on the upside. I don't know. I'm not going to give anyone a prize for guessing what the theme is here, but I've got, as I refresh my screen, which is, as you know, 15 minutes delayed, but on the other hand, the market's closed, so I've got exactly the right prices. Anglo American Platinum up nearly 8%. Well done. Impala Platinum up nearly 5%. Wait for your numbers. They'll be good. Capital & Counties suddenly a late entry, up 4.1%. Northern Platinum up 4.1%. And Anglo, the company, the parent company, up 4% as well. On the downside, phew, doesn't look good here. Prosus down 7.6%, was worse than that. Naspers down 7.2%, was worse than that. Tiger Brands, after the vegetable story, down 3.9%. And Life Healthcare down 3 2/3. Anything outside of those, Nick?
No, but let's just talk about these miners. I mean, it's everyone's talking about iron ore price. We speak about it constantly. These metal prices, they can't sit up here. We're about to head into August. iron ore is still sitting at $188. You know, platinum, palladium, you name it, they're all up quite comfortably. And we've seen what we saw today with Anglo Platinum, and kudos to them, 100% being paid out of their interim back to shareholders. That is how much money these guys are generating. And if you're looking for a place to park your money right now, it can be a lot worse than some of these miners. And you've seen what they've done now. And we know they're cyclical, but for now they're printing the cash and they're returning it to shareholders. And we saw across the entire spectrum, even the small cap miners running quite hard off the back of it, because what's good for the bigger guys is also good for them too.
I'm looking at my iron ore price and it's different to yours because I've got 204.50, but maybe that's a 24-hour screen.
Iron ore gets quite complicated actually, but there's three prices technically of iron ore. There's the spot price,
mm-hmm.
which is set by the Chinese millers, I believe, and that's around what you're seeing now. It's about $204 a ton. Then you get the futures price, which is obviously a freely tradable contract, which there's a bid and an offer. That's in China. That's about $188, and there's one in Singapore as well. But with the cost of carry and all that in Singapore, it's about $200. So there's three different prices to keep an eye on. But the one that I think that is the government likes to keep an eye on is the one they set once a day, and that's the one you refer to, Lindsay, the spot price.
204.50. Okay. But anyway, let's call it 200 between the three.
Yeah.
Let's be democratic and make it 200. Okay, Nick, give us the closing JSE indices on this very interesting Monday of a new trading week.
Yeah, very interesting Monday, and I think it's going to get more interesting, Lindsay, with all the tech shares to report. And, of course, we've got Mr. Powell speaking on Tuesday and Wednesday. So it really is going to be quite a week to look back on.
And the jobs numbers on Friday, don't forget.
Oh, goodness. Of course, I'm losing track of some of this stuff coming out. So let's start with the JSE All Share. Flat on the day. Can you believe it? 12 points down. If I would never have said this at 8:30 this morning. 68,051. That's your All Share. Top 40 companies index. Actually up 2 pips on the day, 61,946. We're led higher by, obviously, basic materials and mining shares. Energy had a good day as well, 3.64% up. Real estate, 0.8% higher. Consumer cyclicals, 0.5%. On the downside, financials with a lag of 0.8. There were no prizes for getting where the tech shares are, 6.7% down. And volume a lot better. People are slowly coming back. Where did I have it? 20.3 billion value traded today.
Nice. Very good indeed. Nick Kunze is from Sandham Private Wealth. That was the 5 o'clock shadow. Nick will be back with me tomorrow with the 5 o'clock shadow, but accompanied by David Shapiro from Sasson Securities. See him then. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.